Episode 1.
You were all getting screwed. Day after day, month after month, the corporate criminals are going to keep merging your companies and firing you to make bigger and bigger profits. Every time a company buys another company, bodies fall like leaves. I mean, that's how they justify the purchase price. And that's how they keep having record quarter after record quarter of earnings growth. I'll tell you this much. You and I didn't create a financial crisis or jam home mortgages that could never be paid back. We didn't merge all the banks, say oops when they collapsed, and take bailout dough to pay bonuses. The corporate criminals and their buddies in Congress did that. We could still be having a good run in this country. I don't know. But they decided that their share wasn't enough. They took it all. And when arrogance and greed go to war with integrity and reason, there are no longer two sides to argue. It isn't civility to play along with intolerance. That's apathy. And that ain't me. We know they don't care. And they don't want to care. The only right thing to do is to hit them where they feel it, you know, banging on their net worth. And we can't cave. This is rage. This is rage.
Story Plant Podcast presents This is Rage, a dramatic presentation based on the novel by Ken Goldstein.
They say you should leave the past in the past. Especially when that past involves your heart being broken in so many pieces you can't even utter the word love for almost 2 decades. I know I probably should have left Kemal Balthazar in my distant past. Yes, you heard me right. I, Sylvia Normandy, still a member in good standing of the Ohio and California State Bar Associations, am actually admitting to the fact that I fell in love. Hard, if we're keeping score, with talk radio's most irritating, denigrating, and polarizing figure. And no, I'm not a masochist. My self-image is quite healthy, thank you. Balthazar wasn't always all bluster and provocation. I mean, he was definitely that back then, but he had it aimed at a particular target. Corporate criminals and corrupt politicians. And he actually cared. Really cared about the little guy. The little guy and me. I got to hear a Kemal Balthazar you never heard on the radio. And when I stopped hearing that version, I was gone. Years later, his name would come up in casual conversation about one notorious exploit or another, and I'd simply keep my thoughts to myself. Maybe that's how it should have stayed. The people who exit Balthazar's orbit usually stay exited. And for good reason. But then, this thing happened. And I was convinced that the company where I played out my life as a general counsel needed him. Heck, the nation needed him. And okay, maybe I needed him. Ironically, it never would have happened if he hadn't recently flamed out so royally.
Where's your big star talent, producer Lee Creighton? You're on after the break.
Well, you're the program director. Isn't it your job to get him here?
You didn't answer my question.
Check the margarita bar next door. Early happy hour with free quesadillas. Oh, he likes the one with jalapenos.
Don't joke with me, board runner. We're not friends. You're a glorified call screener. I'm your boss. You and Balthazar have a contract with the station owner. It wasn't my idea. You put up numbers or you're gone. Just give a reason and I'll pull the plug.
Ooh, you're a big-time professional, no question, Miss Stiller. So is Kemo. He'll be here. He never, almost never, misses a slot.
He better not. Your track record stinks. In case I haven't mentioned it, you and Balthazar are on an extended audition. That's my deal.
Oh, that's the first time you've mentioned that today.
Producer Lee Creighton, I'm in a mood. Be ready to bleep me. Fair warning.
Yeah, no need for the warning, Chemo. I'm always on high alert.
San Jose, California. Dreams do die. What sin did I commit to be banished to this strip mall backwater?
You called our sponsor a mafia franchise with millions of people listening. Then you mooned our station manager when she suggested you not refer to our listeners as butt sniffers.
Who cares what I call them? Like she knew a damn thing about getting numbers. I'm the guy who gets numbers.
The magnificent Chemo Balthazar. You're the guy who gets the numbers. You got them mornings in New York, and then you got fired. You got them afternoons in L.A., and then you got fired. You got them in San Antonio, Tulsa, and Tallahassee until you got fired. Now you're trying to get them in San Jose. I wonder how this will turn out.
Sheila Stills, I didn't see you there. Not that you're easy to miss.
The name is Sherry Stiller Balthazar. Just like it was yesterday and the day before, do your show and get the numbers. If not, I've got an idea for a Latin Top 40 format that definitely will. I'll be outside, evaluating.
Maybe I should leave her a little Latin Top 40 on her desk.
Get serious, Chemo Sabe. Look, I got major league child support payments. The ex will drag me back into court if I miss the next check by an hour.
Yeah. 3 decades together. You're still an ungrateful loser.
Yeah, 3 decades together and I'm still broke. Plus, you've got 2 ex-wives to my one. Who's calling who a loser?
Line up the callers, producer Lee Creighton. Talking to you does not pay the bills.
Just don't do anything to get us fired again, all right? We can live without big money. We can't live without any money.
Hey, I can be the Talkers Magazine comeback story of the year, old friend. Let me show you how a star stays a star.
Yeah, the only business more dead than radio right now was magazines. I look forward to learning from the master.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's roll. All right, wild man. We're live in 3, 2...
Welcome, my loyal listeners. This is Rage. Latest Nielsen ratings after 1 month in this geek town? And guess who's number one? Me. No matter where they flunk me, I'm always number one. Enjoy me while I'm around, because I am on my way to bigger markets. You losers are stuck here. But for all you new loser listeners, here's how we play the game on This Is Rage. We all know the system is rigged against you. The only way rich people get super rich and the super rich get their own zip codes is if they use you as fertilizer. Of course, you can't win, but you can at least go down fighting. So, if you get worked over at the office, I'm here to listen. You call me with a problem, I send you back to work with a solution. If your employer is ruining your life, I make payback time fun. I am the workplace wild man. Fair warning, don't bore me or my listeners. We have a very short attention span. Let's take our first caller. We have Eric from Burlingame. Welcome, Eric. This is Rage.
I just wanted to ask, there used to be a show at this time with windsurfing reports for the Bay. What happened to Cosmic George?
Well, no idea, Eric, but if you call our program director, Shauna Stillborn, I'm sure she'll let you know where he's buried. Meanwhile, if you want the weather, just walk outside. Next caller is Brother Mel from San Mateo. Welcome, Mel. This is Rage.
Chemo Balthazar. How about that? Local in Silicon Valley.
Whoa, turn down that radio, Brother Mel. All I'm hearing is noise.
Radio? No one has one of those anymore. You're streaming on my smartphone.
Oh, goody, the internet. The death of my art form. What do you got for me, Brother Mel?
I know you, dude. I used to listen to you in the early days when you started in Cleveland. I dig that rage.
Well, Brother Mel, if you're a longtime listener, you know rule number one, be entertaining, or you go into the Bay with Eric.
Chemo, I'm a friend, not a foe. I remember when you used to expose those crooks at City Hall. We could always count on you to take down the man.
Oh, yeah. I got on the radar with that justice for all stuff. Well, that was before I learned that stories of office torture drive much bigger numbers. Well, Brother Mel, you got a story here, or should I just move on?
When did you get so mean, Chemo? You got issues, man.
Okay, well, you know, the only issue I have is a boring caller on the air, and that problem is now solved. We got Annabelle from Oakland. Welcome. This is Rage.
Thanks for taking my call, Chemo. I've been on the air with you before.
Oh, well, you sound a little tentative. Tell us something attention-grabbing from the East Bay.
You got me fired, Chemo?
Well, I got you fired. Well, that sounds like a punt. Tell the losers of Nowhere Land why you got canned.
Like I told you when I called the first time, I've been suggesting to my company that we need to focus on customer service. They didn't want to hear it.
Well, that sounds fuzzy, Annabelle. What's your gig?
Medical insurance claims. I process payments. I mean, I used to.
Oh, so you're one of those robot vacuums programmed to drain my out-of-pocket?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, well, so first you leave me to die in the voice response maze, and then when I ask for a pre-authorization, you put me on hold for an hour, and then you return and accidentally disconnect me. That's you, right?
Yes, it was. And I agree that the whole health insurance system wears you down, so I took your advice and I wrote a letter to my boss describing how we should treat our customers fairly.
Wait. I remember you. You're the go-to-the-doctor-when-you-need-it lady, right? Oh. Well, the boss didn't like your letter, huh?
Not one word. All of a sudden, we're having a routine layoff. Guess who made it to the top of the list? I have children, Chemo. I have to pay rent.
It's beautiful. They canned you for putting a note in the suggestion box. All right, tell me, can you share the name of the insurance company that dumped you for not being a robot? Oh, wait. Seriously? All right, I just heard from my program director, Sherry Stuckup, that we can't name the company on the air in case it happens to be an advertiser, really.
It doesn't matter. They're all the same. You ask for a pre-authorization. We tell you to get a doctor's referral. You call back with the referral. We say it's out of network. You insist the doctor's in network. We tell you the list is out of date. We tell you to call them, and they tell you to call us.
And you thought you could change all that with a memo. Aren't you the optimist?
You told me to do the right thing. I did what you said.
Yeah, do the right thing. That doesn't really sound like me. I'll have to play back the tape on that. You know, the problem is, Annabelle, now you're in a fix, right? So why'd you call today?
I called because I need some help. You're supposed to be helping. You're not helping.
Hey, I do a radio show, okay? My job is to keep you from changing the channel. That's it.
Chemo, the words you say have consequences. People like me listen to what you say. You can't make the whole thing about ratings.
Right, you tell Susie Strungtight it's not about ratings. That's the only thing that keeps her from canning my ass, so I'm not you. But I tell you what, Annabelle. I think I will help you. In order to do that, though, we're going to need to play a little game. All right, you up for that?
I'm not exactly in the game-playing mood, Chemo.
Ah, sure you are. Here's how we play. To get you lawyered up, we need for that health insurance company to be revealed to the nation. And I don't want you to get in trouble, though. So I'll randomly say the name of an insurance company, and when I get it right, you cough. Was it Anthem?
Chemo, this is uncomfortable.
It's supposed to be. Was it Cigna? No cough. How about HealthNet?
Chemo, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I don't need my name dragged through the mud. I have to be able to go back to work.
Annabelle, you don't need another job. You need a settlement. A luscious, seven-figure settlement. Now, they stuck it to you. You stick it to them. You tried to do something for the average person, and they dumped you. Who was it? Aetna? Come on, cough.
Okay, Chemo. I trust you. The insurance company that fired me was...
Caller vaporized for damage control, Balthazar.
What?
Your buddy producer Lee Creighton? Yeah, he's a company man after all.
She made me do it, Chemo. I can't get her out of the booth. She threatened to fire
the
both of us.
Are you kidding me? You killed my on-air call right before the punchline?
I had no choice. Child support, Chemo Sabe.
Producer Lee Creighton, you were a jerk-off, dickweed, shit-coward, Cro-Magnon.
Chemo, open mic!
Oh, shalom. We'll be right back after this word from... some insurance company that wants you dead.
We're clear.
You cut off the caller, but you left me live? That's radio homicide.
Boss, the monitor said on air. Come on, you know the routine.
Pack up, Balthazar. We'll finish the shift with Latin Top 40.
You're firing me over this? You know, I have a contract. You want me out, it's term payment in full.
Yeah, you just severed your contract. Those lovely parting words will keep you off the air for good. Not just in San Jose, it turns out, but everywhere.
Stephanie Staccato, or whatever her name was, had it right. That was it for Balthazar's latest gig. He tried to kick up some dirt, even tried blaming the whole thing on producer Lee Creighton, which, as you can imagine, put yet another dent in their friendship. But the station had him dead to rights. They didn't have to pay him a penny that was left on his contract. And they didn't. We'll get back to Balthazar. But there are some other people I need you to meet. As I mentioned before, I'm General Counsel for Envisioning Systems, one of the largest and most admired tech companies in the world. As mega companies go, we're perceived as fairly benign, and the word on the street is that coders are lined up from here to Yosemite to work for us. The fact that this is more perception than reality is something we'd done a great job of hiding, at least until everything went sideways. But I'm getting ahead of myself. While Balthazar was making himself persona non grata in San Jose, there was a party going on at the manse of Daniel Steyer, Envisioning's chairman of the board. Silicon Valley parties are notoriously dour. Some might call them misfit assemblies accompanied by hot and cold hors d'oeuvres, mixers where thin manners connect the awkward with the hopeful. This afternoon affair was no different. Most of the people at this event wondered why they were even there. The answer, of course, was that they were there because someone told them to be there. This party, however, would be different from most.
You know, Daniel, this war between Northern and Southern California is so one-sided. You look at L.A. and see nudniks through the smog. We look at San Francisco and see a weekend in wine country. You need to experience the real L.A.
No issues with Los Angeles South. Silicon Valley just suits me better.
Silicon Valley. I keep looking for the silicone. You want silicone? We know silicone.
Let's just see if we can move this deal along. I'm having a difficult time getting my executive team to see the wisdom in our projections.
You bankrolled Envisioning. You're chairman of the board. You want to sell it to Adam Hart Entertainment, and I want to buy it. Only thing that should be left to negotiate is the price. If you want consensus, whatever that means.
Calvin Choi and Stephen Finkerman are the founders of Envisioning. A life for both of us will be easier if they agree to the deal.
You should have put in professional management eons ago. No worries. We put these companies together. Uncle Sol Seidelmeyer will be the wisest mentor they never had. It's just kibitzing, Booby. I'm not even completely sure I understand what the hell your company does.
Sol, you know what we do. We get bad digital advertisements off the screen before our clients get charged for a click. It's a miracle platform Choi and Finkelman created at Stanford a decade ago, and the algorithm hasn't stopped delivering.
Bids, bytes, text ads, codes, it's all poof, gone in a second. Not like my movies, it lasts forever. But I don't have any digital, so I'm willing to pay. Looks like your prodigies just showed up.
Oh, that's strange. I'm surprised they're here. They don't like my parties. Maybe this is an opportunity. Let me see if I can get him to talk to you.
Talk to me? 50 years in show business and two nerds won't sit down with a mensch? I'm gonna get a drink. You're pouring the good stuff from Napa, right?
Calvin, Stephen, what brings you here?
Thought you wanted us to be here.
You said we should be less reclusive, more CEO-like.
Yes, but you should be working on the hack. It won't be long before the street takes notice.
We are working on the hack. We set a meeting here with a whiz kid we discovered.
We were afraid if we interviewed him in a conference room, we might scare him away. So we invited him to your annual soiree.
Problem is, he has a parasite cousin we need to shake. That's how we found out about him. Whiz kid's cousin likes to sell. Talks until it hurts.
Your whiz kid better be astonishing. Now that your algorithm's been hacked, we could lose everything.
Hadn't considered that, Daniel. 10 years of killer code, 2 PhDs, and we have a private jet because we don't know what we're doing. We're just the luckiest guys on the planet. Good thing you're here to keep it real.
For the record, only one of us finished a PhD.
Forgive me, I didn't have the money to stay in school. You fix the code, Dr. PhD.
Guys, enough, all right? I want you to rethink selling the company to Adam Hart Entertainment. Sol Seidelmeyer is here. He'd like to say hello to you. His offer is generous. Worth considering.
We agree. If we wanted to sell our company, his offer would be generous.
But we don't, so we don't need to say hello to him.
You haven't thought this through. Our product development is lifeless. Our stock price reflects that. You can't even beat this hacker. We go into free fall. How do you expect to sell that?
We're not going into free fall. Hey, there's our guy. He took over his entire university's network with 30 lines of code. They kicked him out, we found him, problem solved.
You're betting the future of a Fortune 100 company on a kid who got tossed from college?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
We're coders, we know what we're doing.
You're not just coders anymore. You're the co-CEOs of one of the most important tech companies on the planet. Your responsibility is to our shareholders. You need to think about this.
We promise, we'll think about it. Right now, though, we need to work.
I'll leave you to it. I'm guessing I'd add a little value to your conversation. Other guests to entertain.
Asked Seidelmeyer what Charlie Chaplin liked to drink at the parties they went together.
You and Steven were a lot more collaborative when we started this company, Calvin. Everything doesn't have to be a fight. Your meeting's here.
Holy crap! You're Daniel Steyer.
Yes, young man, I am. This is my home.
Oh my God, you are a legend. Will you autograph my business plan?
I will not. Gentlemen, have a productive chat.
Unreal. I'm shaking. That was just Daniel Steyer, in person. Like, a regular guy. He's the biggest venture player in the valley, and I almost touched him.
Yeah, a regular guy with half a Congress on speed dial. You must be Dennis Swerlow. We appreciate you reaching out to us.
Yeah, I'm Dennis. This is my cousin, Sam Kaczynski. Crud. When you guys said we were meeting at a party, we thought maybe like a beer bash, but we had no idea we'd be here. Like we mattered.
We thought you'd get a kick out of seeing Steyer's house. We did our homework. We know you're a fan.
That's an understatement. Jeez, I still can't believe it. Daniel Steyer in person. So, let's get down to business. You've had a chance to review our prototype. Sam's a developer, I'm the CEO. No question our cloud database has leapfrogged the market. A seed investment in our startup, Green Duck Software, is an opportunity without equal.
Does your cousin talk?
Yeah, of course. I mean, term sheets aren't his bag, but the dude codes like a rock star.
Calvin and I were introverts too, but we got over it. When you work with a guy like Steyer, you learn to fight your way into the conversation.
I don't have to fight that hard with Dennis. When I got booted from Oregon, he bailed me out.
We read about that. Actually, the upload was his idea, wasn't it?
Don't condemn me for taking a risk, guys. Had to see if the system would stand up under stress. So the term sheet I emailed is in range. $5 million at 20 pre-seems fair to you.
You know, Dennis, you're a little ahead of us.
Hey, you can't fault a guy for reaching a little. So what valuation did you have in mind?
To be honest, what we had in mind wasn't exactly a Series A.
I get it. Something early round, like an angel thing, some kind of...
More like a coding gig for your cousin. We have a brutal security problem, and we think he'd be a good fit for the team.
Security for you guys is Team One, right? You're offering me a job reporting directly to you? I've never even worked for a company other than ours, which is just a storage shed in East Palo Alto.
Your code is solid, Sam. We don't care about resumes.
For us, code is DNA.
Hold on. Stop. You don't want to invest in our company, you just want to recruit, Sam.
We're not saying forever. Dennis, we can create a gig for you in business development if you're interested. If things work out and you want to splinter off later, you'll be family.
No, not a chance. You'll take all his ideas and we'll both get a chump paycheck. That's not what we came here to talk about.
Dennis, we're going open kimono with you. Our key algorithm is under attack. We need what's in Sam's head, and if he helps us save the company, we'll be in your debt.
We're known for honoring our word. We can't have Sam focus on anything but this hack. Otherwise, Wall Street is going to crush us.
And then we'll have to listen to Steyer.
Sorry, guys. No deal.
Dennis, can I speak for myself? Working for these guys is a sweet offer. We could both use a chump paycheck right now.
They haven't made us an offer. All they've done is insult us.
I'm not insulted. I'm flattered.
No, you're not. You're insulted. And you know what else? This negotiation is just getting started.
I got a gun!
Dennis, you got a gun? Tell me that's a toy. Tell them you're being funny.
College is behind us, cousin. This isn't a prank.
This is stupid. Where'd you get a gun, Dennis? What are you doing?
Shut up, Sam. We're negotiating.
Dennis, you can't pull a gun in Steyer's backyard. What kind of nutcase are you?
I'm not a nutcase. I'm an entrepreneur. Let's continue this discussion at our office suite, okay?
We're not criminals, Dennis. I'm not a criminal. Let's get out of here.
We are getting out of here. With the two of them.
What do you want from us? The security cameras have you on video, you know.
Maybe there was a camera in that flower pot. It doesn't matter. We're unknowns. We want an investment in our company. Here comes Mr. Steyer. He looks concerned. Maybe he'll give us what we need.
Gentlemen, let's wind back the clock a bit, shall we? You can't just show up at my house and start...
I guess Mr. Steyer doesn't want to negotiate at the moment. Okay, Calvin and Steven, you're with us, and we're out of here. Mr. Steyer, you'll find everything you need to secure an exchange in this offer letter. And next time a fan asks for an autograph, just sign the damn piece of paper.
Dennis, you don't have to do this. There are other ways to...
Sam, you're either my partner all the way, or you're in the way. Are you coming? Choi and Finkelman, move. Now!
This Is Rage experience. You can get it in the book This Is Rage, a novel of Silicon Valley and Other Madness by Ken Goldstein, published by The Story Plant and available wherever books are sold. This has been a production of Story Plant Podcasts, adapted by Ken Goldstein and Lou Aronica, directed by Mitchell Maxwell, produced by Monty Hobbs in association with 8 Day Productions. Post-production service provided by Digital Garden Media. Executive producers Mitchell Maxwell and Lou Aronica.